probably not going to get better. But we know that eternity is going to be good. John 21 tonight. Last Sunday night, Easter Sunday night, we talked a little bit about Peter. And we're going to talk a little bit more about him tonight. John 21. I think the writer John, because we know he pastored, and he seems like a pastor in chapter 20. How many times have you heard this preacher say, "I just got one more point"? Now, Brother Greg, go ahead, right? And then 15 minutes later, and three more points, right? So if you're watching John, he says this in verse 30 of chapter 20, "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But if these are all written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name." Looks like a good place to end, doesn't it? But he doesn't. Got one more point. And it's a good one, because it kind of unfolds a little more in detail about Peter. Now, we know that the Lord and Peter's had a private meeting. Okay? And I've thought about this probably 1,000 times. If they had a private meeting, and I'm sure they got things worked out, then why this public meeting? I think it is, Dub. I think it's for our benefit. And I think it's for the public benefit. Because where did Peter deny the Lord? Private or public? Public. Now, him and the Lord has forgiven Peter, and Peter knows that. Now, they're in Galilee. We're going to start in chapter 21, verse 1. The Sea of Galilee and the Sea of Tiberias are the same place, and the Lake of Gennesaret. So you're reading your Bible, those three places are exactly the same. Just depends who's telling the story. Same location, just different names for that location. The Lord had told them in the book of Mark, chapter 14, that He would meet them on a mountain in Galilee. They were to go there and to wait. He's telling them, "Now, I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to rise again 3 days later. And I want you to meet me on a mountain." Read it with me. Just keep your Bible marked in John. But go to Mark 14. Y'all looking at me like, "I don't know, Brother Steve. That seems a little sketchy." Mark 14. He tells them in verse 28. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. So he's got a meeting with them in Galilee. Go on with me to Mark 16. Mark 16, just flip a page a couple. Verse 7. "But go your way," this is what we read last week, "go your way, tell the disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said." So the Lord has told them before he died that, "I'm going to come out of the grave. I want to meet you in Galilee." Now after he's out of the grave, he tells them one more time, "I want you to meet me in Galilee." So the disciples are in Galilee, but I want you to see something. I don't think they're there to meet him. They're in Galilee. Now, I've got to ask a question. Why are they in Galilee? Well, some of them are from there. Remember where Jesus picked them up at. Remember where He called them. He called them along the seashore of Galilee. He said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And that group of people began to follow. They got others to follow. And Jesus continued to call them out. So they kind of go back home just like that couple last week. Remember that couple Wednesday night? They went back home. These guys kind of go back home. Now watch verse 1. "After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. On this wise showed He Himself. They were gathered together, Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples." Seven disciples out of how many? There's really only 11 now because Judas is done. Remember, Judas hung himself. So there's 11 of those guys. And now there's 7 who make this trip to Galilee. 7 of them. Watch verse 3. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So, it looks like to me that Peter decides to do what he used to do before he was a follower. Before he gave up fishing, before he decided to go with Jesus every day the rest of his life, he goes back. And he says, you know what, guys? I'm going fishing. And they said, what? We'll go with you. I think this is good to see. I think there's followers and leaders in life. I think all of us are followers, and I think all of us are leaders. We've all got somebody following us. So be careful where you go, because you might take somewhere where they shouldn't go. Amen? Remember what happened to Lot? How come Lot picked Sodom? Out of all the places in the world, what did Lot say? Las Vegas would be a great place to raise a family. Why did Lot do that? If you go back and read in Genesis, he said it reminded him of Egypt. So how did he know about Egypt? Because he followed Uncle Abraham to Egypt. So Lot learned about Egypt from Uncle Abraham. Now here's the question of the hour. Was Abraham supposed to be in Egypt? He was not. What did Abraham do when he got down there? He lied. Said, my wife's my sister. Remember all that story? So I think we're kind of getting an idea. We better be careful what we do because others are following. So they follow Peter. And that night they caught nothing. Now, if you go back and read Luke 5, you're going to see a similar story that Jesus walked up to them and asked them if they caught anything. They fished all night, they caught nothing. And Jesus said, nevertheless, cast your net on. Remember that story? Watch this. Verse 3, Simon Peter said, I go fishing. They said, and to him we also go. Verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Verse 5, Jesus said unto them, children, do you have any meat? They answered, what? No. Not hardly any? Just plain old? No. 6, he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. You know how far it is from the right on to the left on these boats? About 7.5 feet. When you go to Israel, they'll let you see a model of a boat that's supposed to be the same thing that these fishermen fished out of. About 27 foot long, 7.5 foot wide. So imagine, fishermen, on this side, there's no fish. 7.5 feet over here, there's fish. Is it that's how it works? Most of you guys, I'm sure Justin, some of the others that's fished on them tournaments, the guy in the front seems like he sometimes gets the better spot than the guy in the back of the boat. And that's like 17 or 18 feet apart. This is 7.5 feet. Now watch. The Bible said, they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Here's where I want to start talking to you a little bit in a message. 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher coat unto himself, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Now here's my question. Why could John recognize it was Jesus but not Peter? That's where I want to start with you guys tonight. I want you to know this. The closer you walk with the Lord, the more you can hear Him. Draw nigh to God, the Bible says what? So you make a step toward Him, He makes a step toward you. Basically is what He's saying. Now, if you think about the day of the crucifixion, we don't have any record of anybody on that mountain besides John, for His disciples are concerned. Because Jesus from the cross looks at John and says, "Behold your mother." Talking about his mom. So John, even though he wasn't perfect, he's still walking closer. Alright? So when it came time to recognize Jesus, when the Lord's talking to him, he got it quicker. Peter is sometimes like you and me. Let me ask this question. How many here has ever tried to determine, is that the Lord talking to me or something else? Me and Dub, and that's it? I think we've all been there. Now, how many of you would just raise your hand? Sometimes it's clear as a bell. That's the Lord. That was Him. Why is that? Because it's sometimes in our lives we're living closer than we are at other times. Y'all have to agree with that. Sometimes you're reading your Bible and praying like you should, and sometimes it's kind of getting neglected. Amen. Now think about how much Peter's neglected in these few days. Alright? Now watch. I'm getting there. Verse 8. The other disciple came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as they were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. I never noticed this before till today. Just reordinating myself with the story, studied this week, but tonight I just wanted to go over one more time and I saw something I never noticed. All the other Gospels talk about Peter, woman by the fire. Right? Check this out with me. Go backwards. To chapter number 18. Look at verse 18. I never noticed this. The first thing Peter sees when he comes back to land in John 21, you just saw Jesus had a pile of what? Coals. And cooking some fish. Watch this in John 18, 18. And the servant and officer stood there who made a fire of what? Of coals. For it was cold and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The very night that Peter denied the Lord, it was warming by coals of fire. And the first thing he finds when he steps out in the presence of the Lord is a coal of fire. I never noticed that before. Now I'm telling you what I think. I think all this time, the Lord's trying to bring remembrance to Peter what happened in public that night. Remember, Peter and Jesus had a meeting. But this is about the public. There's six other guys with him. And Peter. Okay? Six other guys, Jesus and Peter. And now, Peter's going to get a chance in public to not deny him. You ready? Now watch. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. You know, so I just went back this whole week and just looked every time I went fishing. You know, there's not one other occasion in the Bible that gave a number how many fish? Except when the boys lunch. But this day, John decides to record to us that there's 153 fish. There's a couple reasons it could be, so let's read ahead and see what it says. Jesus said unto them, "Come and dine," and none of the disciples durst ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh, taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. He didn't cook their fish yet. I want you to see this. When they got there, he already had fish on the coal and bread. And Jesus said, breakfast is on. Now, I don't know about anybody in the room, but I could eat fish for breakfast. Fish and hush puppies. Anybody besides me can eat fish. I can do that. And so here they are. Jesus is feeding them breakfast. The Bible said, verse 14, this is now the third time that Jesus showed Himself. Now, I underline the phrase, to His disciples. Jesus has showed Himself to women, to different ones, but this is the third time to the disciples. Now, I'm getting there. Bear with me. Here's something else I want you to see. Verse 13, I made a note of this. What was the last thing Jesus did before He was crucified to the guys? It was. What happened that night? He fed them. What else? He washed their feet. Remember that? He served them. He served them. Here's what I noted, and I made it for myself. The same Jesus that served before He was crucified is the same Jesus who served after He resurrected. He's a servant. He's got the servant's heart. He's serving these guys. If you just read, He's serving them food. He served them before He died. He's resurrected. He's done the deal. He's still serving. Can I tell you all today? He's still serving. You and I have done prayed to Him today, and He's went to God on your behalf. He's serving you today. I love that. He's never quit serving us. Even though He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He still wants to serve me. I think that is so great. Now, read with me verse 15. I'm going to get you to think a little bit. I'm going to get you to the point, I promise. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, now look, He didn't take him away from everybody else. He's still right there with the group. This is public. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou Me, what? More than these. The question of the hour, the question of two millennials, is what are the these? Now, I think we could say fish, because He went fishing. 153 had counted. Jesus could be saying, Simon, did you love Me more than fishing? And look how many, 153. You love Me more than this? But let me give you something to ponder. Go back to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, I want you to see this. Matthew 26, verse 33. This is the night in the upper room. This is the night that He washed their feet. This is the night they took the Lord's Supper. This is that night. Jesus told them that they're going to betray Him that night. He says it to the crowd. He lets them know that after He's killed, He's going to rise again 3 days. Peter said, verse 33, though all men shall be offended because of Thee, yet will I never be offended. I want you to make note of that. He didn't say that in private to Jesus. He said that in the crowd of those disciples. Though Patrick and Paul and Brother Godby and Debbie and Jack, though they are offended, you can count on old Peter right here not to be. Now, he said that out loud with those guys sitting right there. But what happened that night? Three times he denied knowing the Lord. Three times. Now, it could be, not saying it is, but it could be, Peter, You once said you loved me more than all these guys. What about now? Do you love me more than these? Because this is going to be a question about loyalty. He's working his way through it. He's asking him, how loyal are you to me? You said you would never deny me. And you said they would, but you wouldn't. Now here we are, and you did. How many times? Three. The second thing I want you to notice is how he asked him. You and I are not so blessed with English. Because sometimes in other languages, there's more than one word. I've shared with you, like friend, amigo, and compañero in Spanish. And they have a totally different meaning. You can have a compañero and an amigo. They're both, in English, friend. But there's a different kind of friend. And in English and Greek, there's different love. There's a God kind of love, which is sacrificial, that I'll do whatever it takes for you. It's that love that God said in John 3:16, for God so loved. How much did He love the world? He gave His only Son. That's a love. And Jesus looks at Peter, He said, do you love me like that? And you know what Peter said? Peter said, I love you like a brother. I love you like a friend. He used the word phileo, which we get Philadelphia, the city of Philadelphia. The city of Philadelphia is the city of what? Exactly. So Jesus says, you love me sacrificially. Would you do anything for me, Peter? Peter said, Lord, I love you like a brother. I got, this is the word that I found that I really liked. I've got some warmth towards you. I've got some warmth. I love you. Now watch what else he says. He says unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. The first time he said, feed my lambs. The next time he says, feed my sheep. This time he asked him the same way. Do you love me? With this God kind of love, sacrificial, do anything? Peter said, Lord, I love you like a brother. I care for you. There's feelings here. Now watch this. This is the part I really want to share with you tonight. Verse 17. He said unto him the third time. How many times in public did Peter deny the Lord? Three times. And here's the third time Jesus is asking him in public, do you love me? But this time, Jesus asks it in a different way. In English, it looks the same, but in the original language, it's different. He said to them the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He's asking, do you love me like a brother? Do you have care for me? And Peter says this. Peter was grieved because he asked him, do you love me like a brother? He asked him the third time. And he said unto him, Lord, here's what I want you guys to get tonight. Lord, thou knowest what? I can stand here all night, Miss Carolyn, and I can tell everybody how much I love the Lord. And you say, oh, Brother Steve loves the Lord, I can tell. He says he does, and I can tell he really does. But I want you all to know one thing tonight. The one that really knows how I feel about him is him. We can say it, and you know what? We are good actors. And I think tonight, the Lord is asking us all this question. In which way do you love me? Have I been like a brother to you and helped you through some tough times? Or have I loved you like a sacrificial love? That I'm willing to do whatever it takes for you. And I gotta remind myself every day that He loved me that way. But can I be honest? I'm not so sure that I love Him back that same way, Mom. I want to. But I wonder, if he's having that conversation with me tonight, would Steve do whatever it took, whatever he asked, would I do it? And Miss Susan, I don't know. I don't. I'm asking you all. I want you all to be in the story with me tonight. Peter said what I have to answer. Lord, Thou knowest all things. Lord, You know where I stand. You know how I feel. Now, her and I think we're okay, ain't we? She'd tell me if we wasn't. You know, we stood there and made the vows 40 years ago, and we're sticking to them. And we're happy. But here's what I want you to know. My relationship with the Lord is more than just me saying. It's more than, well, this is our 40th anniversary, baby. Let me take you to Gatlinburg for a couple of days. That's not what the Lord's asking from me. And I want to show you what He does with Peter. I think this will be good for you to go home on. Here's what happens. He tells him one more time to feed my sheep. Verily I say unto you, unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest where thou wouldest. I think Peter's not an old man. I think he's still a young man. You want to go fishing? You just go fishing. Because you're Peter and that's what you do. You go where you want. You do what you want. But watch this. When thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. He says, listen, Peter. When you get to be an old man, you're going to stretch out your arms one day. And somebody's going to take you into custody. And here's what's going to happen. He explains it in the next verse. Read it with me. He says this. That this spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. He tells Peter, y'all ready? He tells Peter the future. And can I use the word hunky-dory? It does not appear in this story. He tells Peter, when you get to be an old man, they're going to arrest you, and they're going to stretch forth your hands, and you're going to die for me. Now, I don't know how you all take that. But Brother Greg, this is how I would take it if I'm Peter. Whoo, amen. Because at least I'm not going to deny you again. He lets him know, from this day forward, you're going to be all right. And you're going to be willing, when you get to that point, to die for me. Now, history tells us that Peter refused to die like Christ, vertical. He died upside down, crucified. But he died crucified. Now, next week's Sunday school lesson, I'm going to read y'all a tidbit from it. All right? So go with me to Acts real quick. Keep your Bible marked there. I'm getting close. I told you I'm a lot like John, but you hang with me. Go to Acts chapter number 12. Acts chapter number 12. Peter gets arrested. This is just maybe a couple of years after Jesus' resurrection. Not long. Peter gets arrested and Herod wants him killed because they just killed James. And Herod says, you know what? Everybody like cheered when I killed James. Wait till I kill Peter. They're going to really cheer for me. And Herod has him arrested. He's chained between two guys in prison waiting for his execution. Look at verse 6, if you will. When Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was what? 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 Now listen. I've had a surgery the next day, Deborah, and they say, you know, just go ahead and stay at home tonight and sleep and get up in the morning, come on to the hospital. I sleep zero. Or I get plane tickets out of Nashville to go to Belize. Your flight's in six. You got to be there at four. Do I get a room in Nashville? No, that'd be stupid. Because I wouldn't sleep. So at 12 o'clock, Rochelle and I leave the house, drive into Nashville. Get to Nashville Airport and sit inside the airport. Waiting to get going. Peter is arrested. The Bible says here, he's chained between two guards. And Herod's going to kill him like they killed James. He's sleeping. Why is he sleeping? Because Jesus told him here, you're going to die when you're an old man. Peter's looking around like, I ain't that old. Jack Meeks is older than me. Dub's older than him. What do you consider old? That ain't old. So Peter sleeps, you know why? Because he knows, Carolyn, he ain't dying tonight. And what happens? Y'all know the story. He gets loose in the middle of the night and just walks out, and the guys are still asleep. And they ask him the next morning, where'd he go? They're looking at each other like, we really don't know. Last time we saw him, he was asleep. Remember that story? Y'all go home and read this. So why was he able to sleep? Because what the Lord told him that night stuck with Peter. And Peter knew he's going to be fine. Now here's how Peter closes. This is how Steve closes. Verse 19. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him two words. He said those two words 3 years ago. And he's still saying it to him now. What is it? Follow me. Do I know what May has in store? I don't. Do I know what next November has in store? I do not. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow Him into tomorrow if tomorrow comes for me. And that's all Jesus was asking Peter. Now, I tell you, here's the Peter thing. Peter says, he looks around, and John's standing there. He said, yeah, I know how I'm going out, but what about him? Isn't that just who we are? I know you told me I was going to die, but what about Don? I know he brings his wife to the door and everything, but what about Don? And this is what Jesus tells Peter. What is that to you? Boy, that's deep theology. He said, if I will that John lives until I come back, you just follow me. Well, everybody starts running around thinking, you know what? When John dies, Jesus is coming. So everybody's watching John to see when he's going to die. And John clears it up. He didn't say, when I die. He says, if I choose to, let him live. Now, John's been dead almost 2,000 years, okay? But there are a lot of people who are hanging on. When John dies, he's coming. You think Peter got it?
His ministry proved it.
It did. Exactly right, brother. By the time you get to Acts chapter 2, he stands up and preaches, and 3,000 people get saved. And Brother Ron, he baptized 3,000 people one day. I got five. I want 3,000, okay? And you know what happens? Like 5 days later, 5,000 more. And he hangs in there till he became an old man. And John Mark lives with him, the writer Mark, until he dies. And Mark writes the book of Mark based on Peter's life. Isn't that good stuff? Now here's what Brother Steve got. Somebody look up Jeremiah 3. Jeremiah 3:16. I'm going to let you read it out loud because I said I was done, so I can't read it. That'd make me lying. Jeremiah 3:15. What did Jesus ask Peter to do? Feed my sheep. I need somebody to feed my sheep. One word means like tend to my sheep. Now who's found Jeremiah 3:15 yet? Don't be bashful. Read it, brother.
And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.
All right, you read it now, Arnie. You're right there so they can hear up here.
And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge.
The Lord promised Israel, I will give you pastors, leaders, who will do what? Feed you. Can I tell you all this? Every day, I ask God, if I'm not feeding them people, get them somebody who will. Because you deserve somebody to feed you. That's the most important thing a pastor should ever pray for. And do you know that's all Jesus asked of Peter? I just need somebody to feed my sheep. So, you pray for your pastor that he'll study. And you come hungry. If we both do that, we should leave fed. Now, we might still need to go to Cattleman's afterwards. And Greg's buying, by the way. If we go. But here's what we need to come out of church service. We should come out of every church service and said, I got something right there. Because every time I study, I find something. And God gives me that little thing, and it's like, thank you, Lord, for that little thing I never saw. And that's all God's asking Peter. I don't need you to pastor 10,000, Peter. I just need you to feed my sheep. And I think we all need to realize that. So sheep, I hope you grazed a little. But here's the question you go home with. Do you love me? Jesus said, ask him. Not do you care for me like a friend, but what would you do for me? Would you give your life for me? Let's stand and pray. Father, Lord, tonight, Lord, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, Peter's life is just transparent for us, I think, on purpose. Because many times we fail. We don't live up to what we should and who we should be. But Lord, you teach us through a man's life that there's forgiveness, there's redemption. And Lord, you used him in a great way, even though he might not have felt usable. That reminds me tonight that everyone who's willing to be used, you will use. And you will make them usable. So Lord, I pray tonight that we might love you like you love us. That's what you challenged in the upper room. Love one another like you loved us. That's what you told them. And you're still asking that question today. He said, the way that people will know you're my disciples is how you love one another. So Lord, help us love each other the way you loved us as well. Thank you, Lord, for this time together tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.